Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Listen, guys, cold turkey might be good on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break your bad habits. We're not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor or wrapping yourself in plastic, howling at the moon while it's in retrograde and Mercury astrology crystal type stuff. Not talking about any of that. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume. And they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative, award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all-natural, delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and reducing anxiety while breaking your habit. Cho, tell them what you think about it.
Well, first off, my name is Corey Ryan Forster, and if you're anything like me, you are an overgrown toddler. And if you're an overgrown toddler, you like sticking stuff in your mouth, and you like fiddling with stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But why not fiddle with stuff that is good instead of stuff that is bad? When I first tried my Fume, I was blown away by how good it tasted. It was fresh. I like this orange thing. It was like breathing in one of Granny's creamsicle wrappers at church. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean, Trey, but it's a really good feeling. It's got a really good weight to it. Feels good in my hands. Helps me with my sort of nervous energy, you know, and it's beautiful, dude. It looks like a little teeny tiny Babe Ruth baseball bat, or like, you know, it's got wood grain on it, like our favorite rappers, wheels. So look, stopping is something we all put off because it's very hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and it's even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com and use the code POA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack. That's tryfume.com and use the code POA to save an additional 10% off your order today. Let's get it.
Looky here, y'all. I'm Trey Crowder, and me and my good buddy Corey Ryan Forster got us a brand new book out.
It's called Round Here and Over Yonder, and it chronicles our travels round here in America and over yonder in England and Scotland.
So join us, two comedians and progressive hillbillies.
Yes, that is a thing.
As we wander about, pondering the peculiarities of places we've ventured beyond Mamaw's front porch.
From Chickamauga to Cheyenne, New York to New Orleans, there's something to roast, something to toast, and something to learn about that ties us together as humans.
Round Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide by two progressive hillbillies, is available now.
Skid it. Bam! It sounds
like
it.
Yeah, we're back, Airheads. Welcome back to the virtual Airstream Studios. I was editing a video of myself doing stand-up earlier to put a clip out or whatever, and like,
you get it, you work hard.
There's a point in it that where like I crack myself up because like I literally in the caption app, like the caption app just had nothing for it.
I replaced
that part in the cap. You go in and you can change the caption, say whatever you want to. And I replaced that part to just in parentheses, unintelligible hillbilly noises.
Yeah,
because like, and of course I didn't mean to do it.
I mean,
but
you
it was
don't
just,
know how to spell it.
It was cracking present me up. Cause yeah. Like I said something like, I was talking about Vermont and how I found this article where they're bragging about how they have every single European ancestry represented in Vermont. Like I Googled how diverse is Vermont. The article I found was literally about like, we got every different kind of white person here. Like that's literally like an actual article they wrote about like
Let me,
that's,
you know,
that's all. Well, that's all that, you know, when it comes to diversity, what else are they going to write about? Yeah. That's literally all yeah. they have. But they're like, we have every single kind of white person.
How can we make this not a lie? You know,
so I was like, talking about that, and I said something like, what I meant to say was, I said, that shit don't count. I was like, no one's ever like, you know, you're never in a city and they're like, don't go down there. That's little Sweden down there. Like, that's what, you know, like, it's like that don't happen. You know what I mean? That's what I was trying to say. But I said, I was like, that shit don't count. And then I was like, hey, man, you know that, no, down there, like, don't go down there. That's a little Sweden down there. Like, I just like malfunctioned in the middle and just did some like Boomhauer shit or something.
Yeah.
And it cracked present me up, that past me had done that. So,
yeah. Imagine how much less the movie would hit if he said, don't go down there, Jake. That's Switzerland land. You know what I mean? That didn't work. That ain't it.
Yeah.
God. I've noticed, by the way, we don't have to talk about captions much, but we, you know, we talked about on the Well Read podcast code switching and stuff, and I noticed for a while, as soon as those like auto captions came up, and obviously every time I would go to use it, it didn't know what the fuck I was saying, and so I was having to edit so much, and I slowly started to realize that subconsciously, every time I went to make a video that I knew was going to be captioned, I spoke way differently and more clearly. Because I didn't want to do extra work at the end. And I went back and watched those videos and I was like, bro, that ain't even you. What the fuck is going on? I was like, oh, I was doing it so that the captions would understand me.
I have to say, I feel like
the
caption, again, this is, you know, this is like inside baseball. I'm sure no one cares about this shit outside of our arena, but I've actually become pretty impressed with where they've gotten in terms of,
better now.
Captioning technologies. Cause for a long time there, yeah, with just having my accent or whatever, any kind of caption thing or like Alexa or anything like that, anything like any kind of voice recognition type thing would always just be like, I don't know, I got nothing. You know what I mean? It like used to frustrate the shit out of me, but it ain't like that anymore. And I'm continuously pretty impressed by these, it's like caption app that I've got, but it don't hit though at the same time. It doesn't like, but anyway, what?
When Siri, you know, Big Ed, our comedian buddy.
Yeah.
When Siri like first came out, like this is like 12 years ago, Big Ed had this bitch where he was talking to this bitch. Big Ed had this bit where he was talking about how Siri don't speak hillbilly. And he was talking about, he's like, hey, Siri, call mom. And it's like, calling Bob. No. Hey, Siri, call mom. Calling Rob. No, you fucking bitch. Calling your mother, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, my Siri's going crazy right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you use Siri?
Only call one person at a time.
Jesus, fuck you.
It really is.
You can't talk about Siri in front of your phones and stuff.
Well, see, I can because I've always had mine turned off. Like I
never use it so much.
You do? Like for what? Yeah. What do you use it for? She annoys me. She don't hit for me. I don't like her.
She annoys me too, Trey, but you don't have crippling ADD like I do.
So what do you do with it? I don't even know.
Let's say hypothetically, Amber tells me, hey, you need to go to the store and get that cubed ham for me later. I'll say, hey, blank, remind me later to go do this. And it'll interpret later as a couple hours and then it'll pop up. Like, it's when I'm doing other stuff and I don't want to stop. You know what I mean? Because like because of my ADD brain, when I'm focused on something, I can't stop, especially if it's something creative. I can't stop and then go set myself a reminder in this or call back, you know, whoever or whatever, or like put this in my calendar. It's just for someone with ADD, it really is a useful tool, which is what me and you are.
Yes, useful tools. That is what they say. What are you talking about later?
Later, I'm going to talk about, you're the reason for this, actually. I'm going to talk about a couple medieval torture methods.
Yeah. When did me and you talk about that?
We didn't. It's just that on the Well Read podcast this week, you were talking, I can't talk today. On the Well Read podcast this week, you were talking about those Faces of Death videos.
Oh, yeah.
And it got me.
It's funny you said I'm the reason for it. That does also make sense. But like I thought I had told you on this podcast before about how I did a college paper on medieval torture devices, and
I don't remember that.
Well, it's a story that I've told repeatedly ever since, because there's like a punchline to it, sort of, because this was like, I was in college in, 2004, 2005. This is a long time ago. Internet had been around, but it's still, this is pre-social media and everything.
Yeah, that wasn't the real internet. That's not what the internet became.
Right. And so I was doing this college paper on medieval torture devices, and I was still like new. We were all still new to like using the internet as a research tool for things, for like school paper, for assignments and papers and stuff. And what I found when I got into that was that like, it was really hard for me to find actual information at first, because every time I went to Google or Yahoo or Ask Jeeves or whatever the fuck I was using at the time and searched for like torture stuff, medieval torture stuff. This is also pre like safe search, whatever. Every result was like cock and ball torture, dominatrix ruins testicles, whatever, shit. Like every single link was BDSM porn, right? That's, and it was like, it'd be like medieval cock and ball torture. And it's like, I just want to read about the actual fucking things. And it just cracked me up. And so, but now they got safe search, and search engines are way better and everything. So
yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I mentioned the internet wasn't then what it became, but in a lot of ways it's reversed. Because like, I want to say like, oh, the internet's more of a cesspool now, it's shittier, but
no,
it is true. It because now social media, people are now on it.
Well, as with everything with the internet, it goes both ways. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, but yeah, back then, I swear to God, and I kind of understand why all the parents were upset, because you got to porn without even actively trying to get to porn.
Absolutely. Do you remember? Do you remember WhiteHouse.com?
Yes.
So
go to WhiteHouse.com, bro.
They like, I remember. First time I ever got on the internet, I think, was like in the Clay County, I was in like eighth grade in the library, the school library, and they had to like tell all the kids, do not go to whitehouse.com, which of course just made it, you know how that worked out. But like,
that was
because
a stupid idea.
The actual White House's website was whitehouse.gov.
Of course.
Whitehouse.com was just like a hardcore porn website.
Why would they not have also bought the .com?
Yeah, well, because nobody knew anything about anything. Right. Back then, right. You know what I mean? Especially really people in the government, dude. People in the government are like politicians. Yeah, today they don't understand or really know anything about the internet. In the fucking 90s, they had no idea. I'm surprised the White House had a website at all. But yeah, you would. You just like, well, you'd stumble upon porn, but also like we should say back then, porn like it was an image that loaded line by line.
Yeah, your
so
teacher
you
had
just
to
sit there in
there.
Suspense, waiting on like the nipples to buffer. Oh, do you know what
dude,
I mean?
And I've jacked off to a neck bone before because of that.
And sometimes there was, because it's still the internet, it's still trolls and stuff. Like sometimes the whole image wouldn't be, you know what I mean? It'd be there'd be like a big black dick or something covering up the boobies or whatever as it loaded up, just to like troll people. Yeah, that was the Wild West. Back then,
dude,
buddy.
It was. And I remember like when I first like it's wild, and people like kids nowadays wouldn't understand this, but like a lot of us were like, aside from chat rooms and stuff, reluctant to get on the internet, because in the early days, what like when we were kids and we were having to get on the internet, I mean, yeah, you had your chat rooms or whatever, and eventually there were games.
Oh yeah.
But like at school, it was always for work. And there wasn't a lot of fun things to do that we knew of at the time. That they would come, but we didn't know about them. Like, I remember...
Buddy, were y'all into the chat room? Dude, in high school,
we figured it out.
We lived in chat rooms, son.
Yeah.
Which is so funny to think. We've talked about this since. Like, it's so funny to think about now. I've thought about trying to make a bit out of this, actually, because, like, what that means is when we were 15, 16-year-old boys... We assisted so many basement-dwelling 50-year-old men in jacking off, right? because we'd get on there and, like, cyber or whatever, do that type of shit. It was always, ASL, ASL, age, sex, location. Yeah. It was always 17 female Cali, right? California, 17 female Cali, always.
And then then we'd get into graphic fucking cyber sex shit with this girl and think we were hitting and like doing a real thing. And but now thinking back on it, it's like, dude, those were all guys. Yes. Every one of those were 50-year-old dudes. Just like just really going hard at the thought of our pubescent wieners or whatever, as we are actively participating in the process. But we did it all the time. Every weekend, man, that's like all we did.
But dude, can I tell you something? And I mean it sincerely. I learned more about pros having cyber sex than I ever did in class. You know what I mean? Because like some of those cyber sex things you would get, it wasn't like, I know nowadays it's just like, show me your pussy. Here it is, bitch. You know?
Yeah.
But back then it was all text related. So you had to set the scene. You know what I mean? And you would like, there would obviously be your quotations of things you were going to say, but then you would put the little asterisks and this was the action, you know, this would be interior scene, you know, laying out. It'd be like, walks towards you. Pulls down pants, only shows half the cock. It's throbbing. I promise I've got hair on it. You know what I mean? And like, I would read it. We was reading a lot of that from the girls, and I'm like, God damn, which again proves even more that it was a grown fucking man. Like, no 15-year-old girl is not giving you the come hither look, stroking my labia. You know,
I cannot believe we believed that shit, but we totally did.
It was just dudes who all looked and wrote like George R.R. Martin. For a visual, it's because, again, I was like, God damn, I've never even heard of that word, but I'm a horny.
Speaking of never heard of that word, I've one memory is crystallized in my brain, but I respect this guy at least for like not pretending to be a 17-year-old girl in California or whatever, like most of them did. I still remember this day. I was like 15. And again, we wouldn't lie either. We'd tell people, like, that's what I mean when I say it's the Wild West. Like, these people were going on like Excite chat rooms and like AOL chat rooms and stuff, like public chat rooms, and like fucking with teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, cause we're telling them, like, yeah, I'm a 15-year-old boy in Tennessee. And, you know,
right.
I said that to this one guy. I remember this one dude asked, he said ASL. I said, you know, 15 male, Tennessee, whatever. And he told me he was a dude. And then he said, do you fuck with the down low? That's what he asked me.
Yeah.
And I was like, and at 15, I was like, what is that? I don't understand.
You were trash.
Like, listen.
You were like, yeah. Those Mexican
he was like,
cars?
Listen. He was like, listen, I love pussy. I love it. But I suck dicks on the down low. Right. And I was just like, no, thank you, sir. I don't think I do fuck with the down low, you know. The internet, dude.
BPP just sent me a text that I do remember, and I was going to say it, but I couldn't remember the website. Dad, BPP just texted me, do you remember when you were a kid and you wanted to see Babe, like the Babe the movie? And so
the pig movie?
The pig movie. I wanted to see Babe. And so Dad... We just started using the internet, so Dad just went typed in babe.com.
Sure.
And it just kept popping up all these windows of ladies just getting fucking, worn out. And Dad literally could not click out of them fast enough. Like, every single time he would get one titties and a big cock off the screen, here came another one, like Galaga, you know what I mean? Just
I remember one time there was also a lot of like trolling with like viruses and stuff, because nobody understood computers or the internet. Like, now you know not to open a weird ass email forward that you know anything about or like that type of thing. But like back then, we didn't know any of that shit. So like, we clicked on so many nefarious links and stuff. And like, a lot of times it just barrage you with pop ups till your computer crashed or whatever. But then other times, I remember one of them like popped up a countdown. It was like 30 seconds to your computer crashes or whatever. And then it said, and then it got to zero. And then it said something like, you know, psych. And then it said, calm down and have a Coke or have a drink. Calm down and have a soda or something. And then the CD-ROM drive popped open, right? Because it had that little
coaster.
It had that little circle. It looked like a drink holder or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember that like blew our fucking minds that someone could do that. You know what I mean?
That's
like
crazy.
Yeah, someone could make your CD drive pop open from afar or whatever. It's like shit like that, man, used to happen all the time. It was a I want to call them the good old days, but I don't know. But they was definitely wild. It was, we grew up in a really, really wild time. Like,
yes, we did.
It might
be the wildest time for kids to have grown up aside from like the 1800s and shit. Like in the modern era, the 90s were fucking wild because we were that tweener era where we were having new things thrown at us when we'd already grown up without it. Like when kids growing up now, like you never don't know what the internet is and it grows, but you grow with it. We went most of our childhood with not having none of this shit. And then all of a sudden we had it. And it's the most fucking like BC AD thing that's happened in almost anyone's lifetime is the internet and not the internet.
Right.
You know, we're just like that and fucking 9/11 happening around close to the same time. We're like, what the fuck is going on?
That's what I'm saying, dude. It was pretty wild and interesting time because it's like when we were born and early in our childhood and stuff was pre-internet. And then we like came of age alongside the internet or whatever, which is like, that's never going to happen again. Like that's like, that's such a paradigm shift AI, of a thing. You know what I mean? Like
AI is a paradigm shift of a thing.
You're right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It is ignorant.
I don't know.
It is ignorant to say that's never going to happen again, but it's still, it's like a,
like the internet readied us. AI is just like an extension of the internet has slowly been doing some AI type shit. Going from zero to internet is pretty fucking crazy. You know what I mean? And you have a bit about it, and it's true that, like, you know, growing up in the 90s in the rural South sounds exactly like how people describe growing up in the 60s and 70s everywhere else. Like, when people talked about 90s kids and all this stuff, and they're like, oh, back in the 70s, like, they'd say shit, and I'd be like, yeah, that was us, too. Like, I know that they banned, like, look. I know that they outlawed lawn darts, but my uncle didn't throw his away. You know what I mean? He did. They outlawed them, meaning they don't make them anymore. But those things fucking last. They're still darts. We still fucking had them. Matter of fact, I think they were playing them more aggressively after they found out that they would that our pussy country said you couldn't do them no more.
Yeah.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Speaking of things our pussy country says you can't do no more, actually, I don't know if this is true or not. It's an attempt at a segue. Last week, we had an airmail from a truck driver fan who really hit for me, right? And he mentioned the sausage castle, right?
Which
I'd never heard of. So I looked it up. I said last week I was going to look it up. Well, I feel like there's been plenty of times on the show where I've been like, you know what? I'm going to get to that next week or whatever. And then I just never, ever do.
We get busy. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's
got to
be frustrating for people. But this time I actually looked it up. The guy's name is Mike Busey, right? And he owned he owned a sausage castle in the swamp lands of Florida, Central Florida, like an hour outside of Orlando, right? Mm-hmm. He dubbed himself the king of rock and roll debauchery.
Hell yeah.
And it's like a Florida version. It's supposed to be like a Florida version of the Playboy Mansion, right? Mm-hmm. So they have these big, massive sex parties there just out in the Florida, you know, swamp. And he ended up being, I never heard of him until this guy brought him up last week, but he was on Tiger King 2. He was on Jackass, the TV show. He was on the Playboy channel a lot.
Do you think there's ever been a bigger drop off in viewership from Tiger Woods season 1 to Tiger Woods season 2?
It's kind of funny that there isn't a Tiger Wood at kind of like a like a golf, like a, you know, like an amusement park for grown men who like golf or something.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Tiger, called Tiger Wood, you know, because you got Dollywood. Because like, yeah, that would hit for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would hit for you too.
Yeah, I'd have fun there. I like Top Golf and shit. You clean sight of me with Tiger Wood. What were you saying? Tiger King.
Yeah. You mentioned he was on Tiger King, and I just thought, like, it was wild that, like, we got so into, and by the way, POA people, you may not know, during the pandemic, me, Trey, Drew, DJ, and was Mark on there? We did a, We had some guests, though. We had some guests.
Roy came on there, and
Roy Jr., yeah.
Sean Bridgers came on there, and BJ, I think. A bunch of people.
We're long far away from the Tiger King craze, but we were right deep in the middle of it. So we had an entire separate podcast called Tiger by the Tail that we recapped every episode. We were so fucking into it, like everyone was. And then for everyone to be so into it, and then season 2 came out, and like everyone collective was just like, nah, we're good. We're fucking good.
Yeah. It, I don't know, dude. It was just like a... That is one of the most lightning in a bottle things that has ever, or I think will ever happen in all of pop culture, because like it was right at the beginning of lockdown. COVID is when it came out. And that everything was weird and everybody was stuck at home. It was a captive audience. And it was just like such a release from everything that was happening.
Watching
and
somebody
it was just so wild. Do what?
Watching somebody else fuck up their shit really meant a lot to us then.
And then, but yeah, it's like we just all got it out of our system or something. It's like, dude, as soon as I heard about, or, you know, did you even notice or remember Peacock or one of them channels, they did a TV show about it.
Yeah.
But
and I don't think anybody
but because
it.
Of the way TV shows work, it didn't come out for like 2 years after Tiger King came out. And it had like, I think Kristen Wiig was Carol Baskin, and it was like star studded, but it had no chance, dude. Because by the time it came out, people were like, "Oh, we're way past that. Nobody wants to fuck with that."
You
know,
I don't think it would have had a chance anyways. Because like, how are you going to script like that shit? Like that was it. That was fucking better than. There's no way. Like you're going to have to just rehash it, but it's not going to seem as organic. You know.
Right. So anyway, so this dude, Mike Busey, I guess he was on Tiger King season 2, but like the rest of the world, I never watched Tiger King season 2. So I don't remember. He probably, based off what I'm reading about him and stuff, I guess he like, maybe he ordered some tigers for a party. So like this dude's a massive cho.
thank
you. Can you see him?
Yeah.
That's him right there standing in the middle.
Like one of the road warriors.
Yeah. And he like, you know, he looked the way he lives, which I appreciate.
Is that a juggalo or a panda behind him?
It's a panda, and here's a butt right here. See, this is in his pool at the sausage castle, but he has these big debaucherous parties, and he took a show on the road, look at him, pretty
the
American.
Party.
Got his pug there. Yeah, took a show on the road, did it in nightclub, stuff like that. Can you see this painting in the back on his garage?
Yeah.
It's like a dolphin mixed with a unicorn dick. With a big raging boner about to go into a cartoon butt.
I know that me and this guy believe very different things, but just at face value, I fucking love him.
Yeah. Why do you think you believe in different things to this guy? You and this guy might hit for each other. You don't know.
Maybe. It's just that See, he has a lot of my traits, but I know to keep some of them to myself. You know what I mean? I know that there's some things that you just want to do, and then there's some things that you do. You know what I mean?
He'd do things like he'd offer free sex acts to our troops, right? Like if you were a veteran and you're in Florida or whatever, you could come get you weenie sucked at the Sausage Castle for free, I guess, which, I mean, you know.
Not
a lot of people say they support him, right? Hey. I mean, this guy, he's putting his money where his mouth is, or he's putting something where somebody's mouth is. But yeah,
so far you've said nothing that makes me go fuck this guy. One thing have you said.
He describes himself as having one foot in Hollywood and the other foot in the dumpster. He says there's a reason behind everything I do. I just want to entertain people that hate their shitty 9-to-5 job or have nothing to look forward to when coming home to their bitching wife. So,
I'm kidding. I love my wife.
What do you think when you hear his name, Mike Busey?
Gary's nephew.
It is literally Gary Busey's nephew. Literally. Yes.
Well, that makes so much sense.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I thought the same thing. I was
crazy.
Like,
we've never heard about him.
I had the thought. I was like, I was like, there's no way this guy's actually related to Gary Busey. That would be just too perfect or whatever, because he's such a fucking lunatic or whatnot. But no, he's Gary Busey's nephew. And when you look up, when I find out about somebody like this, I'm always like, how did this person? Exactly. Right. That's what you want to know. Like, how did he buy?
Gary Busey ain't like generational wealth.
No
fucking guy.
No. He probably, blown it all on kazoos and dinosaur bones or something. Fucking ain't no telling with that motherfucker. But, what was I saying? Yeah. How he got his money. You're like, right. Cause he has these parties in a castle in Florida that he's painted dicks and unicorns all over and shit, right? A mansion he calls a castle. Yeah. But like, where the fuck you get a mansion from, right? Well, I still don't know. Well, I mean, okay. So here's the best story I could find. And our truck driver buddy, I don't know how well he knows Mr. Busey, but he may know the story. And if he does, he can email us.
Did he say
he'd
been to the sausage place?
Yes, he'd been to the Sausage Castle, which, by the way, is no more, for the record. Oh. It sadly burned down in 2017.
Ground sausage.
Yeah, and he said, and old Busey, when it burned down, he said something. He posted something. It's like, no matter how hard they try, they can never stop my spirit or something, which seems to like imply that like he thinks someone burnt it down, right?
Uh-huh.
Which,
that's the Busey in him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's like, now I'm sure it was like somebody who accidentally kicked a fire breather in the nuts. You know what I mean?
Was smoking in the cherry bomb room again?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it was some shit like that. But it's like, that place could not be anywhere else but fucking Florida. It's just so perfect for Florida. Also, I wanted to show you this picture of him because, like, you can tell, like, I was kind of.
How about that? Huh?
What'd you call it?
I called it the Marlboro Lago.
There you go. I like it. Can you see this picture?
Yeah, he looks like Pat McAfee.
Looks like a Busey, don't he? He looks like Jake Busey.
He looks like Jake, but also kind of Pat McAfee-ish,
I can kind of see that.
Did he ever try the acting thing and then was just like, nah, man, I'm going to just paint unicorn dicks and just explode stuff and get troops' dicks sucked?
I don't know if he ever did any actual acting or not, but the best story I can find for like how this guy got going or whatever is just that, like I said, him and a group of friends from college didn't want to stop partying, which, I get that. And like, it's like seven of them, and they went in on I don't know if they rented the mansion at first or what, but him and a bunch of other dudes went in on this like mansion just to host parties at, and they would host parties that they charge people to get into. Right.
It's pretty brilliant.
And then he just kept doing that. Right. Yeah. And then it became his whole thing. He owns this sausage castle. He throws parties at it.
Paid for itself.
People have to pay to go. And he puts that back into the parties, but he also pockets some of it, and that's his job, and that's how he like makes his money or whatever. And there you have it. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's kind of wild that more people don't attempt something like that. Like,
well,
Because what a hidden thing that is to do if you're a dude in his 20s. When you get into like your late 30s and 40s, that shit becomes pretty sad, in my opinion. But like,
oh, it does. It does. But now it's
you're making a lot of money just throwing like titty and butt parties for like 10 years or something.
I mean, when you get older,
get out, that's what's up.
Yeah. Or have a younger protege, like you still own the place, but he's the Van Wilder or whatever. And also like, there's a lot of, you know, when it's like that and you're not in an actual club, it falls under like private party rules. And you can get away with a certain amount of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but how do you, I mean, it's Florida. It's the fucking, you know, the Florida. Wild West of the Southeast, but how do you get like,
because
clubs and stuff, they have laws you have to abide by. You're clearly just skirting those laws if you're basically turning your house into a nightclub every weekend or whatever.
You skirt it by, there's several ways. I remember I'm talking about what Wade fucking Cardwell, don't mind saying his name on here. He would love it. I'm talking about his whole mission. This did last one time. Now, it was a fucking huge success. I think that it was just one of those one and done things. He was like, wanted to put on a show, but he was like, dude, fuck renting a bar. You know, I've got a buddy that's got a barn, you know, and so we'll just do it there. And basically what it is you pay a larger cover charge, but they're not selling you drinks. Your drinks are free. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have a license to sell drinks. You do not have to have a license to give away drinks, because like, you see barbers do that all the time. Like, do you want a beer? It comes with your haircut, right? You're not buying it from them. So you don't have to have a license to give it to them. Now, people still have to be of age, otherwise they can come in and be like, yo, you're contributing to minors. But like, that's how you do it, is like, you charge them this insane amount or whatever, but it's like, but while you're here, fucking all the alcohol's on the house, party up, do this. So that's like, that's one way. Now again, like, if the government wants to figure out you're doing some wrong shit, they're going to be like, we think there's underage drinking going on, you know, there's cocaine in the house. But legally speaking, I'm pretty sure that it's not illegal for an establishment to give away alcohol.
Right. Well, either way, he figured out. I don't know what he's up to now ever since the Sausage Castle burned down. I don't know if he's trying to rebuild it. I don't know what he's doing. But, I thought he was wild. Shoo-wee, y'all. It's about that time, college football fans. Are you ready for week one? I know I am. Go Vols, baby. DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up. Now, that's fair enough. DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. We all know that. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple years. It happened in Knoxville just last season, baby. Change comes at you fast. The only thing that's a lock is the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code POA. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the promo code POA. The crown is yours. Do you have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See DKNG.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Ooh wee, y'all, fresh ball fall is upon us. I mean, you know, someone needs to tell my balls, but still. And you need to be in the festive spirit. Light a candle, get some pumpkin spice, and make sure your balls look nice with the sponsors of today's show, Manscaped. Nature may clear the leaves of their trees, but you'll need Manscaped's help to get you ready for sweater weather. Get your pants puppies prepared for cuffing season. Oh, I miss cuffing season. With a trim, no, I don't. With a trim as refreshing as the fall breeze by going to manscaped.com and using code POA for 20% off plus free shipping. It is still very hot where I am, so I'm still very much enjoying Manscaped's ball deodorants, the ball toners. If y'all can, if you see me on the show later, you'll know that I've got a nice trim, and that was from my hedge trimmer that I love so very much. I could not recommend Manscaped products more. Trey, tell them more about it.
Well, it's time for nice flannels and cozy socks, or it will be soon enough. But we can't forget to trim our balls. By now you've heard of them, but it's time to join the 9 million men worldwide using Manscaped and get the kit that covers it all. The Performance Package 4.0, it starts with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer with advanced skin-safe technology that reduces nicks and cuts on your dicks and butts to make raking the leaves a lot less painful. Plus, the lawnmower is a technical masterpiece. It has a 7,000 RPM motor, a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and a built-in 4,000K LED spotlight to help you see parts of your body you haven't looked at in years. Mm. Once you've cleared the driveway, the Performance Package comes in hot with products to cool you down. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Spray Toner, one to prevent stink and one to clear it up. With a soothing aloe vera formula, Move Over Pumpkin Spice Fresh Balls are the smell of the season. The Performance Package 4.0 caps it off with two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. That's one to hold your Manscaped goodies and one to hold your man goodies. So here's what y'all can do. Bring in the fall right and get 20% off and free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code POA as the leaves fall. Make sure you have it all with Manscaped.
That's right. The ball deodorant, you can get rid of the stink and help the wink. You know what I'm saying? Skew.
What? I got about 40 minutes left before I got to be in the house to pick up my kids. What do you want to do? Do you want to talk about
that? I've got a couple of things.
Okay. Well, get it.
I got a couple of things, and if we have to do torture devices part two, we will. But I have updated my fantasy kingdom. And I wanted to hear, for those of you who maybe haven't listened to all the episodes, a couple episodes back, we were drafting a fantasy kingdom. Basically, if you had to set up a realm, who would you have as your king? Who would you have as your hand? Who would you have as your master of coin? Yada, yada, yada. Now, I'm pretty sure, by the way, when we said Arnold Schwarzenegger for king, I'm not sure that that can ever be beaten, right? But I did want to propose a couple other ones that I think would work, because the last time we did this, I think me and you both were in the framework of we're setting up a benevolent empire, right? We're setting up someplace that would be good for peacetime, not necessarily war, colonizing, and acquisition. So I've kind of got a couple examples that could go either way. All right. So I'm proposing, and we brought her up for a couple things, but I was just thinking of someone who, as a queen, is the least divisive person that I know, is loved by literally every single community, ostensibly with her wealth has done very, very good things. And in that regard, for a modern kingdom, when we're not all about conquest and colonization, I think you could do a lot worse than Dolly Parton.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, she's already the de facto queen of Tennessee, has been for a long time. So,
on the other hand,
no arguments over here.
Right. But Dolly's not going to, I mean, you know, she's already colonized all of Tennessee. I don't know if she's going to do any more. But
when it comes to this conquest stuff, are we still talking about, like, these are like people that are famous for other things? These are like, okay.
Yep.
Okay. I'm interested to see where this is going. You got OJ on here somewhere or something like that?
No. And that is why I pitched to you as king. Again, love him or hate him, if you really think about it, Vince McMahon.
Okay.
Dude. Yeah. Again.
I mean, hey, you know a lot more about, I know that he's just a straight up monster, right? A lot of shit's come out about him in recent years, right?
Of course. So were kings.
No, I know. I'm not arguing with it. I'm saying I don't know the details of what all he has done or whatever. He certainly had a flair for the theatrical and was a mogul and everything and bent people to his will. Also, the people he bent to his will were like big. They looked like extras from Conan the Barbarian. You know what I mean? Like, they look like old warriors, like from a fantasy realm or something. He has a legion of those guys, which is interesting.
Well, here's the deal about Vince McMahon. Yes, dude, he's a monster. There is no way to shake it. Like, by the way, I'm glad that Vince McMahon did a lot of things, because it hit for me entertainment wise. And I can't deny, you know, someone can be a bad person and you still go, but he's a hell of a businessman. Oftentimes those two things buck right up against each other. But what Vince McMahon did and how he became the monster that he is, or how he built his empire, was very much like how a king would set up a kingdom, right? Because he literally colonized the territories in wrestling. Like, there were all these, like, there was a Florida territory, that you got your Mid-South, you got, his dad had, like, the New York market. That was just, WWF was just a territory. That's all it was. Philadelphia territory, Midwest, you got California, all these things. And Vince McMahon's dad, who didn't want to leave him the business, as a matter of fact, he didn't leave him the business. He made Vince buy him out. He's like, I'm not giving it to you. You're going to have to pay for it. So Vince did. And he said, I'm only going to sell this to you, though, if you don't fuck up the system, how it is. All the territories have their people. They have, there's the National Wrestling Alliance, which is the NWA, right? We keep it like this. And what happened was the NWA had an alliance. So these guys would work for the NWA, which means you would go work in 2 months in Florida in that territory. You'd be the big baby face or the big heel. And then on your way out to another territory, you would put somebody else over and drop your belt. Then you go to another territory like it never happened, because to those people, it would have never happened. There was no national television. It was all regional television. So you could start over. And that's how these guys started, you know, that they would just make their run. Like fucking, you know, Hogan would, or Terry Funk and these guys, they would go do the same shit in the Mid-South that they were doing in Texas, but the people in competing territories had no idea because their fucking television didn't go out that far. Well, Vince McMahon was like, no, I think all y'all should be me. You should be us.
That's like a vaudeville act or something. Yes. Like that's how vaudeville used to work. Like people would go around.
Comedians, we do the same show in different regions.
That's true.
And we don't film it and put it out until later.
Until they get filmed and put out. Yeah. And then you have to start doing other stuff. But like, Well, I mean, I don't know how you're going to find a better example than that. I mean, he literally played Risk with the world of professional wrestling or whatever, and you know, united it. He's like the Alfred the Great of fucking wrestling world.
He did what no one ever thought could be done, and not only did he do it, all the people that he conquered, don't get me wrong, they hated it, but like all of them will speak like, I don't know how he did it. He's a fucking genius. And then they all started working for him. Like he's like, you, by the way, you can have a job. Like it's like he dominated your country and then was like, hey, you can be an ambassador for what used to be your country. You know what I'm saying? In my fucking court. Right. So I think Vince McMahon, if we're talking about building a realm instead of being in a time of peace, he'd be a pretty good one. Hand. Right. I've been thinking about this and I don't have a benevolent versus conquering, but I think that this dude, he's someone who just when you think he's one way, he's the other. And he always keeps it 100. And that's
Joe Rogan.
No, Bill Burr. So close. No, no. Not Joe Rogan, because Joe Rogan can too easily be influenced by the last person who was in the room.
That's all Joe Rogan is. Like if whatever emissary came in to like curry the king's favor, whatever they said, Rogan would be like, my lord, we need to go with that guy. Whatever, you know. And then that guy's direct opponent comes in right after that and argues the opposite. He's like, I don't know, this guy's making a lot of points. That is kind of what he does. You're right. Bill Burr is a good choice, though. Bill Burr would fucking watch his mouth out with a revolver before he would take that fucking job. But like he would hit at it, though. Which that's the whole thing with jobs like that is like, that's what you want. You want somebody that don't want it. You know what I mean? But is suited
like
for
John
it.
Stewart.
John Stewart would be great.
But that's why, because he'll never be a politician. But dude, what you just said about Joe Rogan was my leading example of why Bill Burr would be a good hand, because Joe Rogan is inarguably like when I say this, I don't mean the best comedian. I don't mean he's the funniest. He's the biggest. He's the king of comedy. 100%. He's
not
the
just
king.
Comedy, dude. Like maybe all he's media, like yes. he's like,
he's
yeah,
Howard Stern right now. He's Howard Stern, right?
He's the king of all media. 100%.
Howard Stern mixed with a little bit of Johnny Carson. And again, I don't mean style or temperament. I just mean the ability to make someone's career by having them on your show. No one has that like Joe Rogan does. And my point is that because of that, I feel like a lot of people sort of suck his dick when he's on some bullshit. But Bill Burr literally will just be roasting him. He'll go in there for an episode and he'll be talking about all this stuff. And Bill Burr will just be like, you don't even fucking know that's true. You saw a fucking video. Who gives a shit? Who the fuck are you? Who's that guy? Like, he does that constantly, and it's like, yes, that is exactly what the king needs, is someone that goes, okay, but why? You know what I'm saying? So I think Bill Burr would be a really good hand. Now, we got a little bit of flack the last time we did this for it being all male heavy, which I argued. I was like, sure. I literally pitched Dolly Parton as several things. But like, yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, a queen.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right.
All the other things. Well, it's come on.
I pitched Dolly as Master of Coin last time.
This is a fucking, like,
yeah.
This is the framework of this is like the medieval kingdoms or whatever. Also Game of Thrones, all that type of shit, which is also based off those types of things. And all of those things, real life and fantasy alike, it's all men. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, because that's just how it used to work. So when you think about this type of shit, you think about it, and you know, sure, that's an excuse. We are also just two dudes. So, you know, that's also part of it. But I think it's a valid thing.
Here's the thing with women in society, and I promise this is pro women, but like you go, oh, why is there not a lot of women CEOs? Because they don't pick. And then the dudes will say, like, well, there's not really a lot of women that have the experience to be a CEO. And it's like, yeah, but that's because women have never been given a chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, women have never been given a chance to do that.
Yes.
So, like, when you're building a kingdom, like, the list of insanely king court-worthy women, is the list of that is less than men, because men have been allowed to be great for longer. That's the only fucking reason, but it is true. Like I said, I pitched Dolly for Master of Coin, and now I've just made her queen, so I don't want to hear shit. But on that, Master of Coin, last time we went with Warren Buffett, but I've thought about it a lot recently, and I actually think the answer was right under our nose the entire time. We've actually talked about this fucking person. Hetty Green, as fucking crazy as she was, dude, that woman, you remember Hetty Green from the episode of Witch Factory?
Yes, I forgot that this was a dead or alive thing.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, dead or alive. Yeah,
okay.
Dead or alive.
All right.
Yeah. Well, dude, Vince McMahon's fucking 90-something now. Like, you know, I'm talking about prime. Because remember when we did Arnold, it was like Arnold in the 80s.
Yeah, okay.
You know? Hetty Green, like, I think she would be a really good one because, I mean, she came from nothing.
If it's dead or alive, and again, this is where I get into, like, I don't know if this is like fair or not, because he kind of just was that person already. But the first person I thought of, you're talking dead or alive, and you're talking like the conquest, the amoral conquest version.
Yeah,
I think Marcus Crassus is probably pretty hard to beat over the course of all of history. He's
true.
Oftentimes thought to maybe be the richest man who ever lived, and he really did it through some. Some brilliant but nefarious mechanisms.
But he was royalty, right? Like, he was...
No, not really. I mean, he was like... They had, you know... There was like 90% of people were like peasants or slaves, and then 10% were like people who could actually... were allowed to hit. He was in the group that was allowed to hit, but he wasn't like... He wasn't like born... He wasn't the son of Caesar or nothing like that. He was just some dude, but then some dude who was in the hitting class...
Right.
And then he made more money than God and became super duper powerful or whatever. But then ended up like he was part of like the triumvirate and all this shit. Like he wielded a lot of power. He kind of did the thing in real life is what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
Well, he can't really do that. But like people in the business world, I mean, they kind of also do.
Dude, yeah. She was the master of coin for whatever firm it was she held. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Like that's what Axelrod in Billions, he's the master of coin for all that shit. Okay, so I don't think I have to make my case for her. We've already done it. Now we're going to something that we actually have not even picked one pick for, and that is the Kingsguard, right? I'm going to allow you to think about who you would pick for the head of the Kingsguard. Head of the Kingsguard, not like all of them. Head of the Kingsguard, but I'm going to offer...
Sergeant Alvin C. York.
That's a great one, but I was going to suggest either LeGarrette Blunt or Ed Reed.
I was also thinking Chuck Liddell.
I think LeGarrette Blunt and Ed Reed would be two of whom would not to fuck, but you're right. A UFC guy would be more.
Well, is it though? Because, like, what I mean, in reality, okay, the version of this kingdom exists in the present day, right?
Sure.
Well, so the King's Guard, the head of the King's Guard would be somebody who's armed, like, you know, yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, right.
It'd be nice for them to know hand-to-hand combat or whatever, but they just have a gun. And yeah, also, whoever's, like, coming at the king would probably just have a gun. Yeah. So, like, they need to be, like, some sort of military strategist. And
okay,
and,
take this how you will, but I bet LeGarrette Blunt and Ed Reed can shoot somebody. I'm sure. You know what I'm just saying? They could be trained is all I'm saying. And if guns are dropped, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like... You're not getting through Ed Reed, and LeGarrette Blunt is getting through everybody.
If you're, yes, if you're talking about just like a personal bodyguard, like
yeah.
who like walks with them every day and keeps Mark people Henry out of their physical space, like then yeah, those guys or UFC fighter or whatever, sure. But if you're talking about again, right, Butterbean, that would hit. But like, if it was a modern day kingdom and a modern day king, yeah. the person charged with protecting their life. That it would it go so far beyond just that.
That's true.
It's basically it's the head of the Secret Service is what it is.
Yeah.
And like and so
aside from that American
it had
sniper,
to be a military guy, like a military genius, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, just wow, yeah. I'm a Sergeant
Alvin,
York, that and the fact I'm from Tennessee. But you know, at the same time, me and Alvin York would not hit for each other. He was super, super into the Lord.
Well, that don't matter. Like, you're yeah. building a kingdom here. You nobody gives a shit what we all believe. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's who's right. the fucking best. We don't give a shit. Like when
or probably,
you get into
you know that what's that? Old boy, Mad Dog Mattis. Like it's somebody yeah. like that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Is who it would yeah. like really be.
Yeah, see, that's a great example because that dude is super different in me and several beliefs or whatever. But when it came to that job, I'd be like, well, yeah, those people are like that. So,
I mean,
whatever.
Everybody pretty much agreed that that guy was legit as far
yeah,
as
right.
you know, that
like,
job
like
goes.
Master, we went through the same dilemma with Master of Coin where it's like, look, it's going to be an asshole because all those dudes are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Okay. We also
speaking
I
of
think,
assholes, what are you shoving up in them for torture purposes? Is that not what you were doing? I was trying to segue for you.
No, it wasn't. I was gonna keep going on the fantasy draft, but it's funny because the first well, not the first couple things, but there's a bunch of shoving up things. Can I do
no, I know, I'm aware of that. That's why that's where yeah. I was trying to I thought that's where you were going, but
I'll do it. I'll do it. Let me speed read the last. Master of Whispers. The WikiLeaks guy, Julian Assange. Don't care for him, but fucking, you know, this dude controls a lot of information.
Yeah. Or that or Perez Hilton. That's what I said last time.
TMZ. Yeah.
Same difference.
Or Frank Abagnale Jr., the Catch Me If You Can guy. Fucking
yeah,
great.
But the thing with that guy was he was totally full of shit, right? Which, for the record, hit for me.
Everybody that it was real, so it's just as good.
I agree. It hits when it came out that he made all that up. That super hit for me because it adds another layer to the whole thing with that whole story. But that don't mean that he'd be at all gifted at like maintaining a spy network or anything.
That's true.
Or like
That's
obtaining
true.
Information. He's just like he is a good liar. That
yeah,
know.
It was more of a joke than anything. I really wanted to go with Julian Assange. I think that'd be a good one. Again, that dude gives me the fucking creeps, but WikiLeaks is a wild ass thing that like
yes.
really helped control the narrative of media for like 15 fucking years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jester, you can argue with me on this one, but I think when it comes down to what an actual jester is, what they need to do for the king, being that they are actually historically, and I want to do an entire episode on jesters, they were the only ones that were not only allowed but encouraged to sort of roast
yes.
the king for the king.
Every comedian's favorite historical fact, that right
yeah,
there.
Everyone,
the jester was the only one who was allowed to criticize the king. We love
and
repeating
I know that.
That.
I know, but like it does hit.
It does hit. I
yeah.
love it.
It's different now for sure. So people should quit acting like we're still that important. But anyways, he actually sort of played this in History of the World Part One, but it's Mel Brooks. There's no other guy because the jester needs to not just be a slapstick funny guy, which he is. He's a song and dance man, but also a master satirist. Can you give me anyone better than Mel Brooks? Maybe Robin
no,
Williams.
I can. I just didn't realize that that's what jesters. I didn't realize that was part of what actual jesters back in the day did. I thought they mostly farted on geese and stuff. Like
well,
I was thinking,
do all that,
like I was thinking, you know, dead or alive. First guy that popped in my head is Chris Farley. I think Chris
okay,
Farley.
Chris Farley would be great too. But Chris Farley was smart too. Like he didn't just fart and fall down. Matter of fact, like the character in Tropic Thunder that Jack Black played was based on Chris Farley, and one of his lines was, "They only love me for my farts," because yes, that was like a worry of Chris Farley's, that he's like, people don't understand the actual work I put into this. I'm not just falling down. So Farley would have been great. It's Farley, Mel Brooks, Robin Williams would have been amazing. Robin Williams might be the best one. I'm just a Mel Brooks homer. Okay, so those are definitely the top three. Everybody can mail in who the votes are. Sorry, it ain't a woman. It's not. Let's make it be Roseanne. See if y'all are happier with that shit. So lastly, cupbearer. I gotta go. My two top options are Bert Kreischer or Party Boy from Jackass.
I don't even really know. Cupbearer. That's just the dude who brings the king wine.
Makes him hit. Yes. He's in charge of the hits, in my opinion.
Oh, it's got to be Bert Kreischer then, dude. Bert Kreischer. All right. Either Bert Kreischer or Mike Busey. Yeah. King of the Sausage Castle.
Just FYI, Airheads.
Bert Kreischer knows Mike Busey because Bert's a Florida guy. Bert's a Florida guy. That guy's a Florida. It'd be hilarious if they had some big feud or something, like they hate each other for some reason. But
I can see it. Yeah. Shows do that a lot.
Yeah.
Chose do that a lot when it's like, no, I'm the fucking retard. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
HRIC. Yeah.
Yeah. So the hitting retard in chief.
The head retard in charge, but that's also funny.
Okay. Either way, sorry about that, guys. So medieval torture, this is definitely gonna go into a part two for sure, but I started thinking about medieval torture a couple weeks ago. I randomly stumbled upon an episode of Stuff You Should Know, you know, that podcast from the episode was from 2013, and I was like, holy fuck, I forgot people were making podcasts in 2013. That sounds insane to say, doesn't it?
Dude, I think Rogan and Maron and the ones in real early, I think it was like, I think they started in like 2009, 2010.
And it was just them and these like people. There was like 10. There were like 10 fucking podcasts.
Right.
But then, like I said, so by the way, a lot of this information will come from that particular episode of Stuff You Should Know. But when you brought up Faces of Death on the Well Read podcast, I was like, okay, this episode has stumbled. You've said this. I'm fucking going in. So I know we've talked about the Middle Ages throughout our show. We've never done like a specific episode, the Middle Ages, because that would be insane. But I did want to mention before we get into the torture thing that the average life expectancy in medieval times was, what do you think it was?
32.
40. It was 40, which makes you go, no shit, 12-year-olds were getting married. You know what I mean?
But like I've always heard about that
is childbirth.
Yes. But say the thing that I've always heard about that is that's how statistics can be misleading, because really the reason it's so low is because so many babies and small children died, which is, you know.
Yes. And so many young women died in childbirth.
Heartbreaking. But I've read before, it's like if you lived into adulthood, like if you survived childhood back then.
Yeah. Or childbirth.
You had a pretty good chance of living to be like, you know, 60, 70 something. Like, obviously, still, if you got any kind of cancer or something, you were fucked. You know what I mean? Right. They'd be like, you know, these leeches ain't doing shit. And then you die. Right. And we all know that. That is still true, but still, it's not as bad as the statistic makes it sound. Oh, the average lifespan was 40. Like, it was because a whole bunch of really young people died. But if you didn't, you know, people weren't just getting to 40 and then keeling over, is what I mean.
Right.
Like, if you made it past the early years, you had a good shot at living to be, you know, an actual old person. Like, they had old people back then, too.
For sure. Of course. They were the fucking seeing eye, the all wandering wizard, you know.
The oracles. Yeah.
The oracles. Yeah. The blind cataract motherfuckers that knew stuff. Yes, absolutely. But so I was looking up some torture stuff, and I wanted to start with this one because I kind of find it funny that they even call it torture when it's called saw torture, and it's just when they saw you in half, which to me
from the bottom up or from the bottom down.
They do
string
either
you upside
way,
down.
Hamburger style or hot dog style. And I actually, which is of course sawing you down the middle or sawing you from the waist. Which one would you prefer? I know it. I know what mine is. Easy.
I don't know, dude. What
if you do it long ways, all of your body is getting hurt. If you do it from the waist, at least the pain is isolated to that one area.
The thing I saw was it was like this. It's like starting right here and going down, mm-hmm. except they hung you upside down.
Yeah.
So they start at your taint. They put the saw on your taint and go back and forth like this, straight down.
Never mind.
That's the version of it that I was made aware of.
I still maintain.
I certainly don't want that.
Well, so that's the long ways version, but the other one is they'd saw them in half by their waist. So even still, getting sawed through your belly like a magician but it's way better than getting your taint sawed.
It's definitely better, but it don't hit. But it's part of, directly related to one of the funniest movie scenes of all time, by the way, the death of Dewey Cox's brother. I'm cutting half real bad, Dewey.
One of the worst cutting
half pretty bad. Yeah, this worst case of being cut in half we've ever seen. goddamn funny. That movie, dude, it's so funny. Rules.
Like, dude, when young Dewey goes full, like, black voice singing the blues, going, I cut my brother in half.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, dude, it's a cult classic at this point, but I don't understand how that movie didn't come out of the gate.
Like Anchorman level.
Yes. I don't understand. Dude, I love Anchorman, but that movie easily makes me laugh as hard.
Yeah.
And maybe because, like, I'm such a country music fan, and it's like, it was definitely for me and you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's just, it's funny. Dude, it's unreal. Regardless, Jenna Fisher,
no one's been hotter than Jenna Fisher in that movie. She crushes. Everything's great. Anyways, okay. So that's Saw Torture. And this is definitely going to have to be a two-parter, because once I get through all of them, I want us to, like, try to figure out if we had to be tortured, which one we would select and which one we definitely would not select.
Okay.
This next one is definitely going to be high on my list for wouldn't select, and that is coffin torture. It's not as seemingly torturous. It's just that I'm kind of claustrophobic and, like, I have a fear of drowning and all this shit. But, like, so basically they would just leave your ass in a coffin. They put you in a coffin and leave you in the middle of town square. And how long you were in there was completely dependent on the crime. And I looked up trying to figure out, like, what crimes constituted what, you know, how long of a time span. But it realistically, you can't go, if it's not the death penalty, it can't go longer than a few days, because you would starve and you would, you know what I mean? You would thirst to death. And I was like, okay, what is the number one reason someone would get the death penalty? Where they put them in the coffin in the town square and leave them in there. While, by the way, it's not just that you're in there. The townspeople are encouraged to stand there, throw tomatoes, roast
of
you.
Of course. But are you fully encased in the coffin? So they can't hit you with the tomatoes and stuff.
No. But it's just the shame. You know what I mean? It's just the shame.
You were big on shame, dude. And also, the peasants, man, they'd always, that was their, like, Game of Thrones. Like, Sunday night, they go down there and fucking hurl tomatoes at the pheasant thief or whatever who was in the stocks. And it's like, that was family entertainment. Past is such a nightmare. That one, honestly, frankly, by medieval torture standards, that one is pretty fucking mild, in my opinion. They don't do anything else to you. They just leave you in the coffin until you either die or your time is up. I know that don't hit. But, bro,
I know.
Compared to some of the shit they do.
What I mean is as a way of death, well, like, some of them are a little quicker than, like, I can't imagine just be like if they go, you're in here till you die, and you're in here and you can't fucking move, like, you can't do any of that. You can only scream, and eventually you run out of, like, that would drive me crazy. Yeah. And it's going to last a couple days. Whereas, like, don't get me wrong, some of these tortures do last a couple days, but a lot of them, like, you bleed out pretty quick. So it's like, yes, technically this one hurt more, but it didn't last as long. You know what I mean?
Have you ever seen the Kevin Bacon movie from the 90s called Murder in the First?
I have not.
It's a true story. Purported to be a true story. I've never looked into the actual story, the actual real life events that inspired it. So I don't know how close to reality is or not, but it was about this guy who was, like, convicted of killing somebody, and he was put in basically a, like, desk drawer, pretty much, like, you know, like the like at the morgue, At the morgue where they keep the bodies, like the big drawers.
I was gonna say the Chinese people in that episode of Seinfeld, but yeah.
He at the prison he was in, because he was given like solitary confinement, he was just put in like basically a little like a tomb in the side of the wall, like a little cavity
mausoleum,
about the size of a coffin. He was like kept in there as his punishment, but they fed him and gave him water and stuff, and they let him out once a week for 30 minutes to walk around the yard. Once a week for 30 minutes. Other than that, he stayed in that little box.
What would you do during your 30 minutes?
And dude, he stayed in there. He was in there. The movie is about that case, which again, it purports to be true. He was in there for like over a year, like years.
And then they let him out?
I think the movie is about, he finally gets out eventually. And then, but he's all fucked up, dude. His brain is broke.
I was about to say, dude, like when you're doing something like that, it better be for someone you're not ever going to let the fuck out. Because if you think they're going to be ripped, if you think they're going to be the same motherfucker that they went in as, they ain't going to be. And what would you do with your 30 minutes that they gave you each day? Because I know what I would do would be try to ram my head against a concrete block and bleed the fuck out.
Yeah, man, for sure.
I wanted to get, before I lose the track on this coffin thing, I was reading through the crimes and their sentences or whatever, and I was like, well, surely the number one reason someone would be in there for death would be for murder, right? You'd think that. It wasn't. It was literally for just blasphemy. If you blasphemed, they put you in there to death. Dog, imagine how long me and your asses would have lasted in the fucking Middle Ages if we are who we are. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a blaspheming son of a bitch. I love to blaspheme. Now, granted, I've always had the liberty to do so.
Right. Yeah, bro. Now, blaspheming is what's up. And you know what's wild about all that? You say how long me and you would last in the Middle Ages. Yeah. Or Saudi Arabia. Because
right now. Yeah.
Because they also don't play that. They'll kill you with rocks for fucking blaspheming over there. Today they'll do that.
Yep.
So
yes,
you know.
Like, yep. Not,
thank God
not
I'm American, buddy. Fucking Lee Greenwood starts playing.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I'd you know, say this might be a controversial opinion, but I'm not a big fan of the Saudi government, right?
Me neither.
I don't think they
hit. So I looked up Murder in the First, and apparently it says it tells the alternate history of a. So I figured it might. I don't know how much of it's true or not. I just want to put that out there. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. We had it in the video store. It's a good movie, though. Anyway,
so this next one, I'm sure that you wrote about it in your report, but did you ever hear the Judas Cradle?
Yeah.
So the Judas Cradle, the Italians invented this contraption, and it was used a lot in the Spanish Inquisition. Bet they didn't see that coming.
Shee-wee, buddy.
Huh? Yeah.
Spaniards, they love this shit.
About fucking people
up in the name of the Lord? That was their whole thing, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If we had a fantasy draft that was just about fucking up people in the name of the Lord, I mean, you got to throw a lot of them
first round. Yeah.
I have to fucking lootly, dude. I mean, take them earlier. You ain't getting them, dog. So the Judas chair was a pyramid shaped. I should have fucking had pictures for this, but I'll describe it. You get it. The Judas chair was a pyramid shaped seat, and prisoners would be lowered onto it using ropes and levers. And the point of the seat would be inserted into the anus or vagine. And they would stretch you out while interrogating you. So they'd be like stretching your butthole, just going, "Who do you work for?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so sometimes, and here's the bad thing, they would do this until you gave up the information. Well, plenty of people gave up information once their fucking taint was getting stretched out. But what bad about it was, stupid fucking thing to accidentally say. What really bad about it was is that sometimes even if you gave up the info pretty quickly, it would still tear your butthole in half. And back then they didn't have Neosporin or clean galls. So you would just die anyways. And if there was someone who was like, really, like, I'll never talk, you know, if they refused, they'd shimmied them as far as their hole would go, they would like add weights to them so it pressed down even further. You know, it's pretty. And by the way, I attempted to find, I was like, if this was named after the Judas that we be knowing, and I couldn't, I typed in, I was like, was the Judas chair named after Judas?
Had to be.
That's what I'm saying.
They were super into Bible and the Lord and stuff. It had to be the same Judas.
But nowhere I looked did it explicitly say that it was. And again, I typed in the thing, was the Judas chair named after Judas Iscariot? And like nothing, like maybe I'm on the wrong fucking Google. But yeah. So anyways, another chair.
Hold on. Go ahead. I think just because, again, my wife's out of town and I have to leave when I have to leave. If we're going to do, because you already said it's going to be a two-parter. If you're going to do any air mail at all.
Six more.
Right. So if you're going to do any air mail at all, I think you should do your to be continued right now. Or just don't do air mail and do a couple more.
No. We got to do air mail. I'm glad. I'm glad to cut it off. That was a pretty gruesome one to end on, I think. That's pretty gruesome. So we will get to air mail. Subject line, hey, y'all, I got a few words for Trey about his accent. For the record, I did not vet any of these because I forgot to do it. So I just saw that subject line and I was like, what is this going to be?
Yep.
I know y'all like a good subject line.
Hilarious. People are learning your ways, Cho. They're learning your ways. They're adapting out here.
I know y'all like a good subject line, so I figured I'd go with a kicker to catch your attention. It wasn't a POA video, but one of Trey's personal videos came up on my Facebook feed. I'm hearing impaired enough to use holy shit.
This is weird. This is about what I talked about at the start of the show, isn't it? That's weird.
I'm hearing impaired enough to use subtitles for most things and found it pretty funny that you just put them there by default. I was legitimately distracted by them because coming from the foothills of Appalachia in Kentucky, I heard every goddamn word perfectly. I know both y'all colonels are perfectly fine to not hide the places you're from, and it makes me happy. Colonel B. Jesse Ray.
Hell yeah. So there you go. Thanks, brother. Just so you know, Colonel Jesse Ray, what a fucking name. What a southern ass name that is.
It's unreal.
Anyway, I don't like putting captions on my videos either, but it's just become like the standard.
You
agree, right? So you have to. For a long time, I didn't because
20,000 views if you do that.
My videos have jokes in them and stuff, and I don't like captions for comedy purposes or whatever. But like, what's weird to you and to me and to us is that a whole lot of people don't ever use any volume, even on videos like mine. They just don't. They're watching it at work or whatever. So, like, you have to put captions on videos, even though I don't like them either. But
no, I don't like them either. And me and you both, like, we were late into the putting captions on our shit game. But, like, I just saw the data. And by the way, dude, it's true. Like, if you look at my numbers, sometimes I'll accidentally forget to put captions on something and the video will tank. And then I'll re-upload it with captions and it'll fucking fly. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing. So, last one here. Subject line. Jesus lore, TLDR, too long, didn't read. Jesus as a child was a murderous little shitling.
What?
I know.
Where'd you get this from? You got some you got the scoop on Jesus, the exclusive scoop?
She does send, there is a video here that I will send you that cites her source, right? And it's on YouTube, so it has to be 100% true. Hi, Corey, Trey, and BPP. I ran into some wild-ass Jesus lore today that was just too damn good not to pass on. Basically, Jesus was an awful child who routinely would kill his neighbors and his neighbors' kids for pissing him off. Like, instead of a normal 5-year-old having a meltdown, Jesus would kill people by looking at them and had to be asked nicely by Mary to please not be murderous. He would also threaten to kill Joseph for trying to discipline him. Major, you're not my real dad energy. Naturally, this meant getting chased out of town on a semi-regular basis. Here's where I found it. There's the link. I will send it to you. Further reading about Jesus getting kicked out of town numerous times for just doing all the old godchild fuckery is at the link below. I'll also send that to you. And then send another email. Just an add-on. The story about Jesus tossing dried fish into a barrel of water and reanimating them as is, zombie style, scaring the hell out of the locals, then deciding the problem was, oh shoot, should have told the fish to stop looking like dried dead fish, let me fix that, is top-tier comedy considering it's heretical. That's heretical, right? It's when something's a heretic. Heretical Bible canon. Well, goddamn, what one to end on there. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about, but I can't wait to watch that video.
Me neither. I feel like if it was, if you could find actual, like, legitimate reputable sources that state that Jesus was like Damien from the Omen movies when he was 5 years old and was just like wantonly murdering other children and dogs and shit. I think people would know about that, but you know,
and I want to believe this as a, well, as a Lord hating son of a
check
bitch.
Out the sources there, Joe, please.
I will check out the sources, and I want to believe this as a Lord hating son of a bitch, but this would also force me to admit that Jesus was in fact real, and I'm not comfortable doing that. Anyways, hey, thank y'all, stay
fancy,
and send us all the mail at puttingonairs@gmail.com. listen to the Well-Read podcast, go to treycrowder.com to see Trey on the road, go to parttimefunnyman.com to see all the bonus stuff that I do, get our book Round Here and Over Yonder. It's available everywhere you get your books or at treycrowder.com. We also narrate the audio version. We can't wait for you to hear it. And as always, stay
fancy,
motherfuckers.
Here's Lydia Lovelace.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cunt, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on.
MLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.